As John Lee points out, when you're meditating and you're setting your mind on staying with one thing, it's hard not to have other things come in and get in the way. In fact, it's to be expected. And those things come in two forms. With some of them, all you have to do is look at them and they go away. Or you tell yourself, this is not why I'm here. You turn your attention away, and they go away. Others, though, hang on. They keep coming back. And sometimes in meditation instructions you hear the teacher say, if it's one of the second kind, you've got to work with it. But how do you work with it? The Buddha, as usual, is really helpful. He actually gives three different ways of looking at the distractions of the mind and dealing with them. The first one is his distinction between those that all you have to do is look at them and they go away. With the others, you have to exert a fabrication, he says. Here, of course, he's referring to the three kinds of fabrication: bodily, verbal, mental. That's one paradigm. Another one is when he talks about the five ways of dealing with distracting thoughts. This helps to fill in what it means to just look at something and to exert a fabrication. Now, there's five ways. Three of them deal with just looking. In other words, one, you realize that you slipped off, and you remind yourself, I've got something better to think about, and you go back to it. Second one, you remind yourself, I don't have to look at this. I can turn my attention away. The third one is really realizing, if I pay attention to this, I'm exerting a lot of effort. Why not just relax? And it goes away. The ones that don't go easily come under two of those approaches. The one where you have to think about the drawbacks. If I were to think about this thought for 24 hours, where would it take me? It usually takes you nowhere. Or if it did take you someplace, it would take you someplace you don't want to go. And the other approach is just to make up your mind, you're not going to think that thought. Press your tongue against the roof of your mouth, grit your teeth, and just tell yourself, I'm going to squeeze that thought out of my mind. This is where having a meditation word is useful. You can repeat it really rapid fire, butto, 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 really fast. Jam the airways. So there's no space in your mind to think about that thought. So it shows you two ways of exerting a fabrication. One is to think through the drawbacks of the thought, and the other is to just force it out. And then the third framework that the Buddha gives is that five-step program for dealing with things. Moving from seeing things as being inconstant to developing dispassion for them and escaping from them. And here again, you can combine that with the different teachings on the three fabrications. For instance, when you look for the origination of something, why does this thing arise in the mind? It's going to be one of those three kinds of fabrication. Either it's the way you're breathing, or it's the way you're talking to yourself, or it's a combination of the perceptions and feelings you have. You may notice that when the mind tends to go for lust, there's a certain feeling in the body. Even before there are any blatant signs of lust affecting the body, there's just a itchiness in your hands, in your feet. It's related to the way you breathe, or maybe related to something else. But immediately you slap a perception on it. Okay, this is the time, this is the kind of sensation where it's good to just drop all thoughts about the fact that you're practicing meditation and go for something in terms of sensual pleasure. So there you are. You've got those three kinds of fabrication that can act as the origination. when the desire goes away, okay, what happened? Why did you lose interest in those? What happened? Again, it can be any of those three fabrications. When you look for the allure, again, it's going to be one of those three fabrications. Either the way you breathe around something creates a kind of aura in your mind. Or the way you talk to yourself, say if there's anger in the part of the mind that likes to be angry, that likes to stir things up in that way. How do you talk to yourself about that? What are the words that go into that sense that this is really something attractive? If they're full-blown sentences, that would count as verbal fabrication. If it's just individual words, that would be mental fabrication. And of course, what feeling do you have in the body? Sometimes with anger, there's a sense of a weight being lifted off the mind, a constriction that's being taken away. In other words, your sense of shame and compunction has lifted up a little bit, and you're going to say and do what you want. Then there's a sense of freedom that goes with that. There's a feeling. There's a way of breathing around that. All which go together to create the allure that anger is something that's enjoyable. So here you have to change the perceptions. This is why the Buddha gives those three perceptions of inconstancy, stress, not self, where he parses them out in some passages to nine altogether, seeing whatever it is as a cancer, an arrow, alien, empty. Well, it's not worth going with. That's changing the perception. You can change the way you breathe to change the feeling in the body, change the feelings in the mind. So you can actually start siding with the perceptions that say, this is not any place I want to go. We've talked in the past about how certain defilements tend to hijack the breath, get it to create certain feelings in the body so that you like the defilement. Well, you can learn how to take it back. Make the breath yours. So that the thoughts of why you don't want to go with that particular defilement develop an allure of their own. And you really realize that they are on your side. And that's what leads to dispassion. And we see that dispassion is on your side as well, that it is freedom. Remember the Buddha talked about the standards for what constitutes true Dharma. Is that it leads to freedom and it leads to dispassion, leads to being unfettered and leads to dispassion. Now that's something unfabricated. But to get there, you have to have an anticipation that this is something really positive. This is part of the work of fabrication, the work of the way you talk to yourself, the perceptions you hold in mind, the feelings that develop around your perceptions, around the way you breathe, that make the mind more inclined. As the passage says, you incline the mind to the deathless because you see it as attractive. You're tired of all the slavery that goes into running around thinking that the defilements are your friends, and then they get you to do things that you really regret afterwards. You've had enough. Freedom looks good. Okay, that too is a fabrication, but it's a fabrication on your side. So when we work with defilements, we've got these three frameworks that we can keep in mind. The basic distinction between those that go away when you look at them and those that require that you exert a fabrication, and you start thinking about the three fabrications. And then you think about those five ways of dealing with the distracting thoughts. And then you think about the five steps in moving from seeing the origination of the defilement to arriving at the escape. So the Buddha wouldn't just say, just work with your defilement, work with your problem. He gives you ways of looking at it, ways of analyzing it, taking it apart, and putting it together something better in its place, i.e. a path that can get you really past it. So always keep these frameworks in mind and figure out which one is going to be the most appropriate one to think about and to see how they help one another along. So you can use the processes of fabrication in a way that's just right for each particular defilement as it comes. And when you have a range of tools like this, you're like a craftsman who's tools are sharp, kept in good condition, and right at hand. You're ready for anything.